Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. You know, no matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men. Good morning there, guys. It's good to be with you on this fourth podcast as we get together and trying to figure out how do we become holy men. I want to share a saying from my childhood. Maybe some of you have heard it. It goes like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Anyone else remember that as a kid? I remember hearing and saying it as a kid, and wouldn't it be great if it were true? Have you ever been hurt by someone or something that someone else said to you? And have you ever hurt someone else with the words that you said? Naturally, the obvious answer to both of those questions is, heck yeah, we have experienced both. And that understanding is going to lead us into our next discussion of our time here on this holy man journey, as we are considering this theme of things that we can't control, but maybe we can influence. And so here's the thought process for today. We can't control what other people say, and truthfully, we can't always control our own mouths, right? I mean, we would love to be able to control what other people say. We'd love to be able to control what we say. We know when we shouldn't say something, but yet sometimes it just comes flying out of our mouth. We know that words that should come out of our mouths and the words that shouldn't, because we have messed up in the past with our words, but we still can't control what comes out. But can we allow the Holy Spirit to assist us to better influence a situation and a relationship by what comes out of our mouths? Can we be changed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can influence situations differently than what maybe we've done in the past? So we're going to look at a few different areas of life where our mouths can either bless others or, as we've experienced, or not bless others. And as we consider what the Holy Spirit might say to us in each of these areas, we're going to peek into some of the words of wisdom out of the book of Proverbs. It's a great book. If you spent time in the Proverbs before, you will know that there's lots of great nuggets in there, and especially when it comes to our words and what we say to others. So let's think of some of those areas of life where we men can potentially bless someone where sometimes in the past we have not blessed someone. Let's look at one. This is not a huge deal, but I know that some people have struggled with this and it can affect our witness, I guess. Let's look at that idea of swearing, using colorful metaphors or those famous four-letter words. I'm not going to spend long on this one because truthfully, I don't find a lot in the Bible that would speak specifically to swearing. But then again, the fact that we don't find those four-letter words or swearing-type things in the Bible, maybe that's telling us something as well. People who know me know that I don't swear much, and that's an understatement. It's not just because I'm a pastor. It just hasn't been part of me. And you might be thinking, well, it's just because you've worked in a church that you don't swear. Well, no, because I've worked and hung out in places where swearing would be a normal thing. I've worked in a factory. I've worked in a warehouse. I was in an engineering firm working for a while. I also spent time as a volunteer fireman, and I've spent lots of times at hunting camps. So I've been in places where swearing, where those four-letter words would be normal, but it still wasn't part of me, mostly. And here's the reason, because I didn't grow up around it. My parents just didn't swear. I never heard it. And my dad, again, I mean, he spent times in the factory his whole life. He worked in factories and he was a fireman his entire life. So it's not that my parents weren't in areas where that would be normal as well. But it just wasn't part of their lives. And truthfully, it wasn't part of my grandparents. As I think back, I can't remember my grandparents ever swearing. And my parents, maybe five times in my entire life do I remember one of my parents swearing. So it just wasn't part of me. Well, here's one of these proverbs. I'm going to throw this one out here as maybe something that can speak to this idea of swearing. It's out of chapter 10, verse 13. It says this: wise words come from the lips of people with understanding, but those lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. I remember my mom one time talking about why she doesn't think swearing is a good thing, or why she doesn't see swearing as necessary. And she said something like this passage. She thinks that swearing comes out of the mouths of those who don't have anything smarter or wiser, as it says in this proverb. And truthfully, one of the few times in my life that I can remember swearing was at a time when this passage came very true for me. I was in shop class. I was ninth grade, and we had a substitute teacher this day. Joel Heath was the substitute teacher, and most of us knew him. He was a young buck teacher, and he was subbing, and he was letting us guys in our shop class, you know, have a little bit more freedom maybe than normal. And so we were all hanging out, and at some point, the word hell came out of my mouth. And although Joel was letting us have some freedom when it came to the boundary of swearing, he had told us, don't do it. And it came out of my mouth. And because this was back now, I'm a little older than some of you, so this was back when you were allowed to be paddled in school. And so this passage of scripture that says, wise words come from the lips of people with understanding, but those lacking sense, letting something come out of their mouths that's not good, will be beaten with a rod. Well, I was paddled. Joel, I think he enjoyed it. He paddled me. So here's a question for us as we think about this idea of swearing. If Jesus worked in the coal mine or in the oil fields or in factories like the ones I worked in, or in those other places where four-letter words are just a normal way of life, would Jesus swear? I'll be honest. I don't know. I know in Matthew 23, if you look into that passage, Jesus is taking those scribes and Pharisees to task, and he shares the truth with them that they are damned to hell. Now, the actual words that we find in the Bible, that depending on which translation, it says something like, woe to you, teachers of the law. But in that time period, it meant just what I said. Jesus wasn't saying it to get attention or put emphasis on something. He was just speaking the truth to those teachers of the law that because they were rejecting God, they didn't have a good history in line for them. So, well, let's leave with these two questions for you to ponder. First, do those words, those four-letter words, when you use them, are they necessary to what you are saying? And then two, as a Christian, do they help your witness for Christ? I want you to ponder that. And I want you to pray about it. You might say, I can't control those words. They're just part of who I am. Well, but what if you gave up that control to the Holy Spirit? And what if the Holy Spirit wanted to change you? Now, again, I'm not going to judge you. I'm swearing. I'm not sure it's that big of a deal, but it could be, because it could be a witness. Now, before we move on, I will say some of the words that you use are, you know, the words Jesus Christ, or if you say the words, you know, God damn it, which I struggle just even saying those words in a podcast because, boy, they hurt for me because I believe that that is going beyond where God would want us to be for sure. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. That's the God who saves us and just using his name, the name Jesus or God, and just using it in a way that just, I don't think it would bless God at all. But you know, I invite you to have a conversation about this. Is swearing a big deal or not for guys? And why not? So enjoy that in your life groups. Another area that I know where God's heart is on this one, this is an obvious one, it's lying. Let's look at how we can influence others with this one. think of all the, in general, what lying is. You know, it's bearing false witness, saying one thing when the truth is something else. You know, this is a big one for me, mostly because of what I know of the scriptures, but also just because I know that for my kids, it's important to be truthful, to be authentic, to be real. My kids know that this is a big one for me. If I ask my kid to clean their room and if they don't get it finished, okay, that's one thing. I might be a little disappointed in that. But if they tell me that they did when they didn't, so if they lied to me about it, well, that takes it to a way different level. Well, why is that so big to me? Why is lying such a huge deal? Because I want to be able to trust my kids with the little things and the big things. If they lie to me something small, like cleaning their rooms, then they might also lie to me about something bigger, like, you know, taking drugs or whatever it might be. I want them to build trust with me and being honest with me in the little things like cleaning a room so that I can trust them each and every time when we get to the bigger things. Being faithful or being trustworthy, it's so huge. My three big kids, they know this lesson. And truth is always bigger than not for our family. And my big kids know that. Daniel, my eight-year-old, well, he's learning that. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, I had a moment with Daniel. I was standing in the cold, freezing rain out waiting for him to come out from school. And I waited, and he was late getting out. And so he came out, and I said, Daniel, what was going on? You know, I told you yesterday that you need to come straight out. And his response to me, well, my teacher called me back into the room. And I said, why? He said, well, I don't really understand why. I said, well, let's go. And I had a feeling that something was up. So I said, well, let's go back into Mrs. Garcia so I can ask her why she called you back into the room. And instantly, Daniel got this look on his face like, oh, no, I've just been had. And he started crying and he said, no, it was actually Jocelyn, this little girl. Girls are already bothering my eight-year-old boy. And Jocelyn was just hanging out and Daniel was hanging out with her. And so we had to talk about it. I said, you know, Daniel, it's one thing for you to dilly-dally and not come out right away, but it's so much bigger. Daniel, you need to be truthful with me. So is truth instead of lies important to you also? You know, not just what others tell you, but are you big on telling the truth in all circumstances? Or are you a little white lie kind of guy? Where is God in truth telling? Well, if you read any part of the Bible, more than likely you're going to find at least some lesson where God's heart is on the topic. Let's look at just a couple of those nuggets out of the book of Proverbs. In chapter 12, 19, God writes this, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. And I think we all know that. That's true. If we tell the truth, it's going to just keep going with life. But if we lie, it comes out eventually. And a couple verses later in verse 22, the Lord detests. That's a huge word there. I mean, there's a lot of emphasis on this Hebrew word as it's shared here. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights, and there's a big emphasis on that word too. He delights in those who tell the truth. It's a big one for God. Those words, delight and detest, are emphasis words. And, you know, God, he just, for those who tell the truth, God just, he just loves them. He's honored them because it's more like how God would live. What about those moments when our wives ask that famous question, though? You know that question, guys. Have you ever asked it? Do I look fat in this outfit? Or does this outfit look okay on me? Man, those are loaded questions, aren't they? If we respond, well, do you want me to tell you the truth, honey? We already told her there's a problem. And she already gets this look on her face like, I can't believe you just said that. What if we ask a question response instead? Like, are you excited about the outfit, honey? It's in a no-win situation. I know that. But what if we blamed it on the clothes? Honey, you look great in most outfits, but whoever designed that outfit wasn't thinking of you. Well, now we just question her judgment on why she bought that ugly outfit. Ultimately, God says truth wins. Sometimes the truth hurts, maybe us as much as the person we're telling the truth to, but the words that come out of our mouth will demonstrate over and over, can I be trusted? Am I about truth or not? How important is the truth to you? At home, at work, when you're buying a used car, how important is the truth? Well, it's even more important to God. So a holy man, if we're longing to be more and more of a holy man and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, it's going to be leading, the Holy Spirit will lead us into a life of truth. Well, I invite you to have fun discussing that one a little bit with the guys and some of those moments where we struggle. Okay, let's look at one last area then, and how we can't control our mouths and we can't control others and what they say, but hopefully we can influence lives around us. Let's go back to that phrase, that line that I opened up with, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. If you're listening to this, you have more than likely experienced both ends of this one. You have more than likely been hurt by someone else's words, and you've probably hurt someone else with your words, right? Can you remember each of those moments? And for some of you, you know, the words that hurt you, more than likely it was with someone that you thought should really be loving you. And that's what made them hurt even more. We wish we could control our words here, don't we? And we wish we could control others' words because of how much they've hurt us. Some of you have been battered and bruised. I mean, really worked over by the words of others. Well, God is fully aware of how our words can hurt others and how we can be hurt by others. Again, so therefore, all through the book of Proverbs, we can find a bunch of different nuggets that God speaks into this. For instance, chapter 10, verse 11 says, "The words of the godly," or a godly person, or for this matter, a holy man, "the words of a holy man are life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked, though, conceal violent intentions." How about chapter 12, verse 18, where it says, "Some people make cutting remarks." You know what that means, cutting remarks? Those words that just feel like it just sticks a knife in your gut. "But the words of the wise," it says, "bring healing." So one type of word cuts us, hurts us, but the other word brings healing. Jumping into chapter 13 then, "The instruction of the wise is like a life-giving fountain." There's that image again of a life-giving fountain. "Those who accept it avoid the snares of death." Big stuff. And finally, another one in 15:4, it says, "Gentle words are a tree of life." Remember the tree of life out of the Garden of Eden. Just a place of blessing. "Gentle words are a tree of life. But on the flip side, a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." And that's just a few of those. I mean, I could list many out of the book of Proverbs. So what's your way? What's one of the ways that you cut others, that you hurt others with your words? For me, man, my problem is passive aggressiveness. My wife knows this. I've hurt her many times with just my passive aggressiveness. My kids have experienced it. And I'm better now than what I was many years ago because I'm aware of it and I'm growing in it. But that's mine. What about yours? You know, so for some people, it's sarcasm. For some people, it's criticism. For some people, it's a lack of noticing others. How about your tone? You ever get told that? You might say something and you didn't mean it, but your wife said, "Well, your tone said that." Wow. I think we all have our areas where we have hurt others. Well, where we have done some of these things that it says here, where we have crushed someone's spirit, where we have brought a snare of feeling like death, where we have cut someone's heart because of the words or how we said something. You know, what are some ways that we know this? And, you know, so what are some of the ways that maybe the Holy Spirit can help us with this, that we could potentially bring somebody life instead of crushing their spirit, lifting their spirit? What are some ways? What if you know, for me, this is some things that I've done to get better. I'm not great at it yet, but I'm getting better. For me, just asking the Holy Spirit to help me get better. Regularly just saying, "God, I want to be a blessing to my family and to others that I work with. I don't want to bring a crushed spirit to people. I want to bless them. So God, help me." So just being aware of it and asking God to help. This is a prayer request that God wants the answer yes to. He wants our words to be a fountain of life. So pray about it. Ask God regularly, "Help me," because that's bringing more awareness to you that those moments where you got it wrong. And maybe read through some of these proverbs and find some of these verses that I've brought up and meditate on them over and over again, just being aware of what God's word says to them so that, again, so it's fresh in your mind. You write those, God will write them on your heart to allow them to become more and more of your life instead of those other things when we crush people. Or what about just being aware? What is the time of day, or maybe who is it with, that you are more likely to crush someone's spirit or bring a snare of death? Is it when you're tired, or maybe it's just when you're not getting your way, so pride or selfishness leads the moment? When is your normal moment to crush someone's spirit? Pay attention to that. Be aware, because if you are aware and you're praying about it, and maybe even ask someone else to be praying about it, then the Holy Spirit, hopefully in those moments, will quicken your heart to be more godly in those moments. But here's the deal, guys. Another thing that we need to be aware of, we're going to get it wrong. We all have. And we're going to get it wrong again. Even when we're trying to get better, we're going to get it wrong. So when we do, when we hurt someone, when we crush someone's spirit, something that's going to help us get better in the future is authentically ask for forgiveness. The more we acknowledge that we got it wrong, hopefully we'll be more intentional about getting it right the next time, because we don't like, number one, we don't like admitting that we're wrong, and we don't like hurting people. When we acknowledge we hurt someone, hopefully the next time we're going to get it a little bit more right. Guys, I think we all know, our words, what comes out of our mouth, the tone that it comes out of our mouth, it has tremendous power. God knows this. That's why he put so many of these nuggets in Proverbs to help us be aware of it. He says over and over again, they can bring life or they can bring death. They can cut or they can bring healing. They can lift someone up or they can crush someone's spirit. What about your words? How many people have you hurt lately, and how can we do better? Holy Spirit of God, help us. We want to become holy men, right, guys? Well, this is some of those areas that we can become holy men. Hey, have a great day. And hopefully for those of you in your life groups, you're going to have a great discussion. I have some great life group questions for you to guide that discussion as we continue on our journey of becoming holy men.